the darkness. I tell you, anybody that's experienced the darkness of a cave, like I was telling you a while ago, it's amazing how one little match can light up a lot of area so that it will give you direction, give you a little bit of hope if you're lost in a cave, but it will overtake the darkness. Amen. And I tell you, the presence of the Lord in a life will restore your direction. It will renew your hope and give you energy, spiritual energy. Amen. When the light comes into your life. And it's easy to think about all the doom and gloom in this world. I'm telling you, when you observe the news in the media, however you may get it, there ain't much good news, folks. I'm telling you, it's got to where I know what's going on. I don't even like to hear it anymore. But all the wars that we hear about in the Middle East and in Europe and in over in Africa and things like that, I'm telling you, one of these days, the one that gave us that light is coming back. And all of that stuff's going to be gone. I'm telling you, the crime and the hate and the battles and the evil and the darkness, he's fixing to get rid of it once and for all. Amen. Thank God for his light. Amen. The true light is going to shine and cause all darkness to flee. John chapter 12, verse 46. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. You may know about him, but you have to abide in him. Amen. He gave that illustration to his disciples about the vine, abiding in the vine. If you're going to walk in light, you're going to have to abide in Jesus Christ, so you will not be in darkness. I tell you, when we see Christ, we see the exact true reflection of God himself. Amen. And when people see us as we go through this life, in this world of darkness, when people see us, they need to see the exact true reflection of Jesus Christ. He is the true light. And it's up to us to decide which side we're going to be on. It's going to either be light or it's going to be darkness. He said you're either going to be a sheep or you're going to be a goat. You're going to be on the right or you're going to be on the left. There are no gray areas. There is no partial light. There is no partial dark. It's either light or it's dark. I choose light. Amen. Amen. So it's up to us to decide. And I tell you, the consequences of our decision that we make is going to last forever. There is a place called eternity, and we're going to spend it one place or the other. We're going to spend it with him, or we're going to spend it in a devil's hell in eternal darkness. And I don't know what your perception of hell may be. The Bible talks about where a fire is not quenched, and their worm dieth not. That word worm in the Greek text or in the original manuscript means your conscience. Your conscience is not going to die in hell. And it talks about darkness. I believe when a person is there, he's going to be engulfed in total darkness and isolation. I don't think there's going to be groups that's going to have pity parties and going to try to encourage one another. It's going to be isolation. It's going to be dark. And you're going to have a conscience about where you were and what could have been. Now, you may not believe it like that, but I do. I'm telling you, hell is a real place, folks. And I tell you, I don't want to live in darkness. I don't want to make my bed in hell. I want to be with the one that gave us light. Amen. Matthew 5 and 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I tell you, you cannot hide a city that sits on a hill. Jesus Christ brought this out in some of his teaching about the city that set on a hill. You can see that light, and you can see it for miles and miles. I'm telling you, if we live for Christ, you're going to be like that city that set on the hill that cannot be hid. Amen. And how do we hide our light? We hide it by being quiet when we should speak. And we hide our light by going with the wrong crowd. We hide our light by denying the light or Jesus Christ. We hide our light by letting sin dim our light. We hide our light by not sharing it with others and ignoring the need of others. I tell you, there are sins of commission and there are sins of omission. We have the light, folks. We are required, and it behooves us to share it with everyone we see. Amen. Not everybody's going to accept it. I understand that. But I tell you, we need to let our light so shine. Amen. Amen. So let's be a beacon of light, and let's don't shut our light off from the rest of the world. And I thought about the light of the city set on the hill, and I know you've probably seen pictures of the space shuttle as it circles the earth and takes those lights of the earth. You can literally see those cities shining. I mean, you can just pick them out. America and big cities in Europe at nighttime, you can see the lights of the night shining. And that's what he's talking about. That city that's set on a hill, that's what we are. We need to let our light shine. Amen. God, the third thing, God is the source of our light. And God is the only source of light. And we experience God as Jesus Christ in the flesh. He is our source of all light. And sometimes when we let our light get dim and stuff, it is so wonderful that we can go to Him when we recognize it and we can increase that light. I was talking to Brother Chris about that old experiment. He said he's done it here. I think you said you did, about the lamp and the salt and the water and the light. I tell you, I want more salt. I want more salt. I want salt with savor in me so that that light will shine brighter and brighter. I tell you, it's so wonderful that He came and His blood washed away our sins, gave us true life and gave us hope and gave us joy. Amen. Jesus is the light. One scripture in John 14 and 6 says, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is our path. He is our reality. And He joins our life with us. The second thing, Jesus is the bread of life. He's the source of our spiritual nourishment. John 6 and 32. Jesus is the source of our sight. And through Him, we can see the way and avoid the dangers on the path and life's pitfalls that we might encounter. Think about the scripture that says, He's a lamp unto my feet, and He is a light unto my pathway. He shines where I stand and how I stand with Him, and His light also shines in the direction that I'm going. And I'm so thankful. You follow somebody in the woods, somebody ahead of you that's got the light, you're going to stumble, and you're going to fall, and you're going to hurt yourself. So you get up next to the one that's got the light that can shine where you're at and shine where you're going. One morning I was going hunting, and I was shining around my feet, and I was just walking, and I happened to shine up, and I was about far from this first bench from a skunk coming the other way. You better be shining down where you're headed. And it was kind of a standoff. I didn't want to walk into the woods. I wanted the skunk to. The skunk wanted me to get out of the way. Well, finally he gave up. But he got kind of excited because he was walking with his tail down, and I saw it come up, and I knew trouble was shortly behind. You need to shine the light in the direction that you're going. We need the light of Jesus Christ. Amen. Acts 26 and 18 says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should shew forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. And I taught a lesson not long ago about praise and worship. We're obligated as lights of this world to shew forth the praises of the one that gave us light. Amen. Amen. We ought to be thankful for the light of Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus is the source of our beauty. And before He came into our lives were like I said, like before creation, they were void and without form. Isaiah 61 and 3, listen to what Jesus did. He gave to give us beauty. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. I'm telling you, the light of Jesus Christ traded all of my mourning for joy. It gave me beauty for my ashes, gave me the garment of praise for my heaviness. Thank God for the light. Thank God for the light. Amen. Jesus provides us warmth in a cold, dark world. Jesus is the water of life. To drink of him will bring everlasting satisfaction. John chapter 4, verse 13 and 14. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. It's just not a one-shot Johnny. It's a well of springing water inside of you, that light that will continue to shine if we just hang on to him. Amen. Thank God for the light. John chapter 3, verse 19 and through 21. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. The scripture says that is the condemnation. Over in Romans we read, there's therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. I'm glad I've got the light. I do not want my soul to be condemned. Amen. Verse 20, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. Amen. I want the things I do to be wrought in God. How do I do that? Walking in the light and shunning the darkness. I tell you, many people don't want their lives exposed to God's light. Why? Because it's going to expose their deeds. And a lot of people don't want to hang around you because some of the light that's in you will expose some of the deeds that they do. I don't think they meant anything ugly by it, but I've had people, and words gotten back to me, they didn't want to come to my house. And they felt like they were doing things that I wouldn't. And that's not true. I'd like for anybody to come to my house. And I sent word back to them, next time you're close, you stop. But I tell you, people feel that way. They know they're doing evil. They know they're walking in darkness. And they understand that light from you may expose some of the deeds they do. And they don't want that to happen. That's what the scripture says. That's not my idea. That's the word of God. But I want to continue to let his light shine in me. Just as the moon and the planets have no light in themselves and reflect the light of the sun, so does the church. We as a church body reflect the light of God. God wants us close to him. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 through 7. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Sounds pretty final. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. What does the scripture say about liars? All liars are going to find themselves where? In the lake of fire. Lord, don't catch me lying. I don't want to lie. I want to walk in light, not darkness. And we do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Hallelujah. That's worth thanking God over. Amen. That he has cleansed us from sin because he came into this world as a wonderful light that shall never, ever be extinguished. The scripture just said, in him there is no darkness at all. That is final. Amen. God wants us to reflect his light. And I tell you, the closer we walk to him, the more of his light and his characteristics that we're going to reflect to people that are in darkness. It not only purifies us as individuals, but it cleanses our hearts and minds as well. And I tell you, you cannot walk in darkness and positively influence people of this world. We have to walk in the light. Amen. I tell you, we are a privileged people. I thought a lot of times about my heritage and how my grandchildren are sixth generation Christians. And I want the Lord to fill them all with the Holy Ghost. I want their children to be the seventh generation if the Lord still tarries that long. I tell you, we are a privileged people to know about the light and be enlightened to His Word. In closing, Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And if we had to sum it all up in this thought, light is effective only when it shines. Amen. The church, God's shining light in a dark, dark world. So let's all make it a promise of ours that we're going to walk in the light, we're going to reflect His light, we're going to refract His light, and we're going to absorb His light so that we can do everything we can to enlighten this dark world. God bless you this morning. I love you. Thank you for your kind attention. We'll take a quick break and be back for our morning worship service.